present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, we have four of our keenest and best players of the game. And they're going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute on some subject. I'll give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. We're going to begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. And Derek, the subject is big game hunters. So would you go on that subject for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
Only 3 weeks ago in Zululand, I was following along the course of the Umfolozi River towards Shishlui in search of the white rhino.
It's
an old Zulu word. I like to sort of tap in the occasional.
Sheila, you have challenged, and I agree with your challenge, so you get the subject. You have a point for a correct challenge. There are 50 seconds left. Big game hunters, starting now.
I imagine big game hunters to look something like Stuart Granger, in a khaki safari suit and a hat on an angle over his eye, lovely and brown with lashing eyes. This is probably a hangover from my childhood when I was very much hooked on H. Rider Haggard's books, in which a lot of these gentlemen appeared, and I imagined myself in love with them, sleeping in a tent in the jungle, surrounded by wild animals, but protected by my glamorous big game hunter that looked like a combination of Derek Nimmo and Stuart Granger.
Derek Nimmo, John.
Alas, a repetition of Stuart Granger. Yes.
Alas, she had to bring him in again. Derek, a correct challenge, though. 15 seconds for you on big game hunters, starting now.
With my guide, Sifo Nabambi, we wandered along this trail, missing by a fraction of green
Derek
mamba.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, he's not very good on these Zulu names, is he? there are 10 seconds on big game hunters with you now, Peter, starting now.
Well, I think they are probably the most boring people in the world. They can't think of anything to do to amuse themselves except go and shoot things that are bigger, finer, and better than any of them.
Well, the whistle that Ian Messiter blows tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever speaks at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones, and at the end of that round, he is equal in the lead with Sheila Hancock. Sheila, your turn to begin. What I expect of a man.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, you've known a few in your time, I hope, so...
How dare you?
Will you please tell us... Oh, Kenneth has challenged.
No, I didn't realize that she hadn't actually begun. I thought that her exclamation where she invoked the deity was apropos of the subject. Now I realize that it was an involuntary remark.
And it's given me time to think.
I see. That's a very good thing.
So, thank you very much for that characterized dissertation. And, Sheila, you have the subject, What I Expect of a Man. Just a minute, starting now.
I strongly disapprove of expecting anything of any other human being. Therefore, I would not presume to expect anything of a man if I lived in an ideal
Derek
world.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Repetition of anything.
Yes. Derek, I agree with the challenge. You have a point for that. There are 49 seconds for you to talk on what I expect of a man.
What I expect of a man, particularly a gentleman, is to show gallantry toward lady members of the team. The fact that I don't do myself shows that I'm a right old load of what's it. So therefore, I try to think, well...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
No, he changed track, but he did keep going. And so he keeps the subject, 37 seconds, what I expect of a man starting...
What I expect of a man is to do his duty. Horatio Nelson, the finest admiral Britain has ever produced, off the Battle of Nile, steaming down. He wasn't, was he? He had to flag up.
Kenneth Williams was challenged.
Well, yes, he certainly wasn't on a steamer.
So, Kenneth, you have a subject at last. It's nice to hear from you. You have 28 seconds to talk on what I expect of a man starting now.
Certainly it would be civility. I don't think any of us can exist in a world where people are shouting and bawling at each other.
No!
Instead of behaving in a proper fashion. And by that, I mean civilized. All my friends are characterized by the fact that they have the polity of society in common. And I rejoice my heart...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Do you count me one of your friends?
Listen, have you dared to interrupt me?
Yes.
Just to ask a private question, which you could have done after.
Well, I was going to accuse you of deviation. What? If you do. Well, all his friends have the polity of society, whatever that might be. I'm sure I haven't got it.
Well, I was very deviatious.
Yes.
Right.
Deviation.
So, Sheila, you have a point, and you have 4 seconds to continue what I expect of a man starting now.
What I am conditioned to expect of a man is that he should be courageous.
Sheila Hancock was then speaking when the whistle went. She gained the extra point, and she's now in the lead at the end of the round. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, my epitaph.
Oh, dear.
Have you ever thought about what your epitaph should be or might be? But if not, will you try and talk about it in 60 seconds, starting now?
Here rests his head upon the lap of earth, a youth to fortune and to fame well known. And talent smiled upon his humble birth, but melancholy claimed him for her own. That would be the most superb, the most apposite thing to be written on anything that commemorates... Oh, it's good.
Peter Jones.
Repetition.
He was kept moving about behind me, which put me off.
That's why I
was...
Something that you've never
he's
done.
He's been making faces and trying to put me off, and therefore the whole thing is most unfair. I should get the subject.
I wanted to tell him my epitaph.
Oh, I see.
But how you can say it's unfair when you always, with Clement Freud sitting there, all, you make up to them, you go, you do little dances behind them sometimes.
Well, I know Pete, he's just... Pete, look at him now.
Get off, Peter Jones. Kenneth, behave yourself. There are 36 seconds for you, Peter Jones, on my epitaph starting now.
Oh, it's one in America, and the first line I've forgotten, but after that it went, and let your breezes blow free, I held on to mine and they killed me. I thought that was very sweet, and particularly for someone who suffers from dyspepsia or any kind of gastronomic trouble. Now, I don't know whether I'm expected to continue speaking on this subject of epitaphs. I have already told you the one that I particularly fancy. I'd like it.
Kenneth, Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Particularly.
Yes, because he wanted to be challenged, and he did. So, Derek, you have 10 seconds to talk about my epitaph starting now.
This is the grave of Mary Charlotte, born a maid and died a harlot. She was a virgin at 17, a very rare thing in Aberdeen.
Well, I like very much indeed, and always rather crazy. It wouldn't be terribly applicable to my...
Sheila Hancock challenged you just before the whistle. What was it, Sheila?
I think it would be a highly unsuitable epitaph for Derek.
Yes, it's a very good challenge. You have half a second, Sheila, on my epitaph starting now.
Lovely girl.
Lovely girl.
Sheila is a lovely girl.
So, at the end of the round, Sheila spoke again when the whistle went and gained another point and has increased her lead. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, oh, lovely one, getting the ship into the bottle. Can you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
Well, first, empty the bottle. That's very often the best part. Now, after that, you make the ship... And you have the masts lying down horizontally with all the gear and the string and stuff. What's that?
Hesitation.
Don't mumble, Kenneth. What is it? Have you got a buzz? He didn't buzz. He did buzz. He didn't.
Yes, he did say hesitation. I mean, you were doing a Kenneth Williams line. You kept going in spite of the buzzer.
Well, I didn't hear his buzzer. His buzzer's fainter than mine.
Anyway, it was a correct challenge. There are 50 seconds. For you, Kenneth, on getting the ship into the bottle starting now.
To place the whole thing in a collapsed fashion, and attached to each mast are pieces of string. Once inside and cemented to the bottle, you pull the strings taut so that all these pieces of apparatus then are standing in a vertical or upright position. Then everyone, when the cork is replaced, thinks that the whole thing went in this fashion, which is, of course, completely untrue.
Derek Nimmer has chucked.
Repetition of fashion.
Yes. There's a repetition of fashion, and Derek, you have the subject, and there are 25 seconds getting the ship into the bottle starting now.
I suppose the ship that I would most like to see in the bottle, and frequently do, in fact, is the Cutty Sark. And therefore, I have great joy in unloading the same.
Kenneth Williams has chanced.
Well, deviation, you never see the Cutty Sark in a bottle.
But he wasn't, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject on the card.
You can't. You've got your ship in the bottle. Put the cork in. You can't go on after that. Can you? I mean, you've said all there is to say about ships putting in bottles.
13 seconds, Derek, on getting the ship into the bottle, starting now.
I once knew a very old gentleman in Bristol who was an expert at getting ships into bottle. I used to watch him do this particular task. He would get a bottle and then place into it a ship with all the masts lying down, and cement would be beneath these things, and he would...
Derek Nimmo was then speaking about his ship in the bottle when the whistle went. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is tall stories. Would you talk on that one for 60 seconds, starting now?
The Empire State Building comes to mind as one of the tallest stories that one's ever seen. In fact, I believe there are many hundreds.
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
The Empire State Building is not a building with one of the tallest stories. It is a building which consists of many stories, but it doesn't have one of these stories.
Oh,
you said the tallest. You said the Empire State Building has the most tall story. Now that is completely untrue. Because the tallest story. Yes, that's true.
Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. Anyway, there are 53 seconds. On tall stories, starting now.
Well, Baron Munchausen immediately springs to mind. One thinks of the traveller who ties his horse to what he regards as a sprig in the snow, and wakes to find that the poor creature is tied to the top of the steeple in the morning when the sun has thawed all the aforementioned white stuff, and the traveller is sitting at the foot of the porch. Well, that's a delightful anecdote. Does come under the heading of tall story, and many...
Sheila Hancock challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes. 14 seconds on tall stories with you, Sheila, starting now.
A lot of people are forced to live on tall stories, some of whom I believe enjoy it, but a lot don't. For instance, families with children, and it's difficult when you have nowhere for the same little creatures to play.
Sheila Hancock was then speaking when the whistle went.
On the last 5 seconds, all the time.
Well, we haven't got Clement Freud here. I thought I'd do it.
Well, it wasn't 5 seconds. She went for about 14 seconds. And she's gained the lead again. She's one ahead of Derek Nimmo. And Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams are equal in a third place. Sheila, your turn to begin the subject, What I Fancy. Would you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
It would take me much longer than 60 seconds to describe what I fancy, actually, and anyway, it wouldn't be allowed. But instead of that, I will say that I would like to be by a river in my bathing costume with a bottle of champagne and a few sandwiches. Then I would like to plunge into the same water, swim around for a bit, come out and find Kenneth Williams, whom I also fancy, sitting in his little bathing costume on the edge of the bank, dabbling his tiny feet amongst the tadpoles, fishing with a little net. And then I would go off down the road, and there would be Peter, whom I fancy, and Derek, whom I also fancy, waiting to take me out to dinner, because the aforesaid bread and jam haven't exactly filled me up. So we would then go to my...
Anything that upset me about that, she fancied them all except me.
Oh, Pet.
Still, you kept going magnificently with great style and panache for 60 seconds without being interrupted. The first one to do that for quite a time. We now move to Kenneth Williams. Your turn to begin, Kenneth. James the First, King of Scotland. Would you talk about him for just a minute, starting now?
During his royal progress, the crowd pressed about him at one juncture so offensively that he asked why, and the trembling said, "You are their king, a subject of enormous curiosity." And he replied, "I'll drop my breeks and they can see the rest of me." Which was a very interesting sidelight on the character of this gentleman who was so canny in politics that it wasn't true. Some of the courtiers, some of the ambassadors one thinks of. I notice nobody's picked me out there for repetition, which is extraordinary. But nevertheless, of course, that was something which G.
James would never have done himself. And he's responsible for what?
Go on.
What did you say there?
Nothing.
What's going on behind me there?
Nothing.
Peter something James. Is, you must have said something, because I looked and you were speaking.
Did I say anything?
Thank you. Somebody thought he'd do it.
Well, I challenged and he said, let him go on.
Well, if I'm going to have all this byplay going on when I'm trying to act, I think it's a bit nuts.
Well, you shouldn't act in just a minute. You should talk from the heart and the soul and the guts.
Well, I've heard the virility, but that's the
Peter Jones was the last one to challenge. What was it, Peter?
Oh, I can't remember now.
No, no.
I nodded off after that. All that rubbish
challenge
about the
when he actually stopped and hesitated. Yes. Well, we'll assume that he was put off and allow him to continue. No points scored. 14 seconds. James I, King of Scotland, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, of course, I, strictly speaking, shouldn't have been referring to that gentleman because he was the sixth of Scotland and only the first of England. And, of course, you see the other one.
Derek Nimmo.
Repetition, of course.
You've said loads of words, small words, again and again, but I don't pick you up.
Well, you could say in the book. Well,
you turn up every week with that same dreadful wig on, but I don't. Now, who's got this game?
3 seconds with Derek starting now.
The wisest fool in Europe, he was referred to by Henry of France.
Well, Sheila Hancock's still in the lead at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo's moving up on her. That's rather devious, isn't it? He's only 1 point behind. And Kenneth is now in third place. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. A lovely subject now, ice cream. Starting now.
The best ice cream in the world is made by Groppies in Cairo. But curiously enough, I was in Bognor Regis the other day. And I saw there a huge ice house. A sort of pile of stones inside a pile of earth.
Oh, you are rotten. You're staring. He's actually staring him in the eyes as he speaks.
There's a personal mannerism, and you're picking on it, you know. You're trying to rip my personality apart.
Every time I say a course, he picks me up.
Oh, I see.
Why should I suffer alone? Why shouldn't you?
You want to drag me down with you, do you?
Yes.
I see.
You've suffered less than anybody. I've only got to. Hey, look at the investor who sits beside me, and you say, what's going on behind me? What's going on behind me?
Because you've been up to some dirty tricks in this game, and I've been watching you out the corner of my eye.
I try to do it to keep you.
And you keep doing this sort of semi-strip tease, your jacket's off.
I'm just following your example.
He may be stripping, he's not teasing.
Just done my top button, that's all, yes. Of my shirt.
Pick himself.
Hello.
I like the sarong you're wearing. Round your neck.
Kenneth. You have the subject. You have 40 seconds on ice cream starting now.
People that are selling it in the street, outside various places where tourists gather, at prices which can only be called prohibitive and evilly crooked. I do think that when people arrive in this country, especially strangers, and get rooked
Derek
by
Nimmo
these
has
kind of filthy
revolution
people...
of this country.
Yes.
Nevertheless, it's a very good point to make.
Very good point.
Thank you.
I can think of some worse rackets that go on than ice cream.
I can't think of any worse racket. I mean, little children being charged 30 and 40p for something just because it's got a bit of chocolate sticking in the top.
But if you go up and pretend that you're a small child and want some ice cream, no wonder you get overcharged.
Don't ask yourself, do I look like a small child?
Yes. There are 18 seconds for you, Derek, on ice cream, starting now.
Where is the ice cream of one's youth, one asked oneself?
Kenneth Williams is charged.
Oh, what a ridiculous thing. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's either mouldy or it only is. And anyway, what a load of rubbish. Where is the ice cream of one's youth? I mean, does he know this youth who he's got, who's holding a
Kenny, I agree. Repetition of one.
Thank you.
You have the subject. There are 14 seconds on ice cream starting now.
Well, my friend in New York always says you can't beat the fat-free variety. Hazelnut, walnut, and chicken pox. What finer combination, then, can you have? And no chance of getting
fat. Derek Nimmo's challenge.
I can't believe there's an ice cream called chicken pox.
No, I don't believe there's a chicken pox ice cream.
Well, I was just trying to keep going.
I know, you're doing very well, and you nearly hoodwinked them. Clement Freud does that occasionally with that lugubrious face of his. Keeps going, and he's talking rubbish sometimes. Derek.
And he doesn't confine it to his appearances on Just a Minute.
4 seconds, don't you, more, an ice cream starting.
Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside, holding my corners in my hand.
Sheila Hancock, challenge.
He starts everything with O.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
I knew he turned violent one day.
No, I wish I'd never brought it out.
You brought it up. The challenge was, I grant it. There are 3 seconds, Sheila, on ice cream with you, starting now.
Strawberry ice cream and vanilla.
So, Sheila, speaking again when the whistle went, and what an apt subject to follow, sex equality. So, it is Derek Nimmo to begin. Derek, would you talk on that 60 seconds starting now?
Well, I think Nicholas Parsons has got a very sexy quality. I don't know what it is, but I think it's the way he strands his ankle up and down sometimes, and the hairs quiver in the gentle breeze from the noonday sun, which happens to be blowing rather roundabout. And sometimes sex is awfully quickly admiring, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
But Sheila Hancock challenged you before you got too far.
Well, everything. Deviation, hesitation.
Yes, and sex equality. Sheila, you have the subject, you have a point, of course, and you have 43 seconds on sex equality starting now.
Well, I am glad to say that the bill for sex equality and equal pay for women has gone through Parliament, and it looks as though at last my daughters are going to have equal opportunity with the...
Kenneth Williams,
the deviation, child. I don't want all this black trapping.
Well, neither do I.
You shouldn't have women on the show. They're only men that have the capacity for equations and reasoned arguments. Who's got this subject anyway?
Sheila Hancock's got it back.
Oh, dear.
She has 27 seconds. Sex equality starting now.
Oh, dear, I'm as bored with it as you are, actually. However, it is very important, I think, that all men and women, whatever colour...
Kenneth has challenged you again.
Yes, because, you see, she said she is bored by it, and then she says it's very important. Now, is she saying what is important is boring?
Sometimes, yes.
Well, I mean, that makes no sense.
It's true.
It's very important that your... Kenneth, that your heart keeps beating all the time, but it's boring to listen to it.
Good point. Good point.
Sheila, there are 20 seconds for you to keep going, if you can, on sex equality, starting now.
In fact, it is a terrible subject to talk for such a short time because it is so deep and you can only skim the surface. However, I would think, although I will get lots of letters to the contrary, that there shouldn't be anybody in the world that objects to equal opportunity for women with men. Whether they choose to work or stay at home is their own choice, but I want my daughter...
What a load of rubbish. Load of propaganda and rubbish.
Well, I'm sure we all heartily endorse
those. Of course we don't. Can you imagine a woman in a boxing ring doing what Muhammad Ali does?
No, of course not.
Well, I think if you could find a woman like that, she'd pack them in.
I'll take him on any day.
And you never know, it might be one of Sheila Hancock's daughters.
Yes.
Let's get on with just a minute, shall we? Sheila, 60 seconds for you to talk on affectations now, starting now.
Affectations are something, I think, that are used to cover up a sense of inferiority. Certainly they are in my case. For instance, I am apt rather to say, darling, this and that, and it usually means that I've forgotten the person's name. Also, one does things with one's hands, little gestures, and with my eyebrows, as Kenneth quite rightly pointed out, which in fact usually are a cover-up that I don't know what to say, as, for instance, at the moment,
Kenneth Williams.
Well, I don't think it's fair, Sheila, because the affectation I pointed out about your eyebrows was on another programme, dear. Last week. I ought to sort that out. You see what I mean?
You haven't sorted anything. I just confused them. So Sheila keeps the subject. 32 seconds. Affectation starting now.
Also, I did once upon a time have a very bad Cockney accent. Not that there's anything against that particular form of speech, but...
Kenneth Williams, a deviation.
She's still got a Cockney accent.
Exactly. I knew you were going to say that. I knew. Not as good as I did have.
But you... But she hasn't got a very bad one, has she?
No, she's not in on this show. It's when you get her on the phone. When she starts off, it's hello. And then when she says, I said to me, she says, oh, no, she's you. And it all goes.
That's the point I'm making, if you'll allow me to continue.
Oh, sorry.
She didn't actually deviate from the subject. So there are 25 seconds affectation, Sheila, starting now.
Kenneth has practically taken the words from my mouth. I went to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, and in the process, I eliminated some of my vowel sounds. But the ones that I substituted are inclined to be a bit like that occasionally. But when somebody like Kenneth or Derek or Peter phones me up, he is quite right, I do say, hello. And then when I discover it's them, I say, oh, God, it's you. What are you phoning for at this time? And I go on a bit like that.
Ah, well, I see received a message that we have no more time, so I now must give you the final score because we've come to the end of the game. Well, Peter Jones finished in fourth place this week. He was a little way behind Kenneth Williams, and they were only just a little way behind Derek Nimmo, who was quite a long way behind this week's winner, Sheila Hancock. So, an apt winner, an apt finish to this particular game, which we do hope you've enjoyed the fun, the games, and the erudition, and the comments, and we hope that you'll want to tune in again the same time next week, when once again we take to the air and we play. Just a minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.